One of the good things about my approach to teaching, I guess, is that since I'm used to not finishing sermons, and you're used to it as well, we will continue. We will do what we do, and we will continue. And I do want to put, again, where we're headed in context. These notes make sense? Did you memorize these?
Oh, yeah.
And we had ended ended 2 weeks ago, looking at being of the same mind, and I would like to continue that thought. But I want to put it in the context, going back where we started, that when we were talking about growing as a church, you know, and particularly this morning with so many praises about how people have been cared for in the body, and just the amazement of this body and how well we care for one another. Again, the focus is growth. So that we're able to say, Father, despite how amazing you have already done things in us, and despite how well this body, in fact, again, how rarely this body takes care of each other compared to so many, that God's still desiring growth. And so rather than guilt or shame, our focus gets to be growth. Delight in everything God's accomplished, and yet a commitment to continuing growth. And to put that in the context of where we started, we talked about if we're going to be equipped and effective in ministering to one another, that there's a whole mindset to this. There's a whole structure of thought to this. And just to remind you that we're talking about, first of all, that we each individually and corporately, we keep preparing in the Word. And that we expect to gather truth to share when we're in the Word. And then that we pray. And we talked about praying with alertness, with awareness, where we're aware of the Father's purposes, we're aware of the schemes of the enemy. We become more aware through conversation and sharing of each other's needs and each other's circumstances. Where we talked about praying with perseverance, where we don't quit, we don't measure it again. As long as the need continues, we persist. With the confidence and expectation that our persistence in prayer is actually part of God's purpose. It's actually part of the method through which God works to care for His people. And then we talked about praying in the Spirit. That we're praying in line with the Spirit's purposes, which is the purposes of the heart of God. We're praying with the power and the authority of the Spirit placed within us and us seated in Christ in the Spirit. That we're recognizing that power, that position, those purposes belong to us, and that we keep choosing that approach to prayer. And now everything we're looking at now is about this. That we show up. And first of all, it's just the simple show up physically. Everybody who's here this morning did that. Congratulations. Everybody here showed up physically. Everybody who attended a prayer meeting or a Bible study or a gathering, every time you got together with just one other member of the body of Christ this past week, you showed up. And that we get to keep growing in that, where we're looking for the opportunities that God's designed for us, where we're not complacent, we're not just joining things and doing things to be busy, but we're honestly praising and seeking God's leadership. Father, where are the places I need to show up and be physically plugged in so that you can accomplish through me what you want to do to touch others in the body of Christ, but also so that I'm physically present to receive what you want to pour into my life through others. So part of that is just the physically showing up. But now everything else we're looking at, if it's spelled correctly, is about mindset. And that mindset, briefly, is a mindset that Scripture addresses in its one another's, in its together's, in its each other's. So I just want to have a fresh reminder. This, what we're looking at, we're not just jumping around in Scripture getting bits and pieces of things. We're following a flow of thought with God that we are equipped to bless each other. And now there are steps that we can do to just simply be effective at that. And that's what we're looking at this morning, or continuing to look at. And we're spending a few moments particularly looking at Romans. The book of Romans is not the only place where these one another's are addressed by any stretch of the imagination. But in these few chapters of Romans 12 through 15, Paul does an amazing job of packing a lot of the one another's in. And we began looking last week at being devoted to one another, loving without hypocrisy, and being devoted to one another. And we also began the mindset of giving preference to one another and being of the same mind toward one another. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 16, and I want to read that again. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And just continuing that thought from our communion this morning, that when Merle was reading from 1 Corinthians 11, in fact, go forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Merle was reading and drawing in terms of Paul giving the description of the Lord's Supper. But start at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11. In the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, another is drunk. And I want to focus on that part where he said at the beginning of that passage, there are divisions among you. Keep that thought in mind and go back to the very beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now, this is a command. So, in pursuing this growth of one another, pursuing this growth of being the body of Christ, he gives this command. No divisions among you. And one of the things that we get to recognize is if it's given to us as a command, then there are steps we can take to obey that command. Doesn't mean we'll be perfect at it. Doesn't mean we're finished growing. But where we can say, if this is a command from a living God who knows my situation, then beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are resources, there is truth, there is help, there's whatever I need available to just move forward in obedience to that command. So that he's talking about a mindset here where we determine to be, as he says here in verse 10, that you all agree. So that, first of all, we're in agreement. We are the body of Christ, and we're in agreement that this is going to be a body where we do not foolishly, carelessly, selfishly, or sinfully give room for divisions. Now, there may be times when an individual or a church has to take strong stance because of a division over truth. So, Jesus wrote and spoke through John in the book of Revelation to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And when he was doing that, he took some strong stands on truth. And when a church was allowing untruth into their doctrine, Jesus took a stand against it and said, you need to change that. So if I ever teach untruth as your teacher, if anybody in our body ever advances untruth, then we have a biblical rationale, a biblical calling, in fact, to stand for the truth. And that might create division, but it won't be the division of a lack of love. It won't be the division of a lack of attention to this command. That for us, it won't be a lack of attention to fighting my own selfishness, my own ego, my own pride, my own haughtiness of spirit. That if we have division, if we ever have division, it will be for godly reason and nothing less. So that we get to recognize we are in agreement on this. That everybody sitting in this room gets to look God in the face and say, I agree with you, Father, that there will be no artificial, unnecessary divisions in this body. I won't contribute to it. I won't tolerate myself contributing to it. And when I see someone else contributing to it, Father, I'm going to seek your face for wisdom on how to protect the body and bring that person into agreement as well. And we'll talk later about other parts of that pursuit. But here's the command, no divisions, and that we be in agreement on that. Turning back to Romans for a second, let's again talk about some of the mindset behind that. And now go to Romans chapter 15. Starting in verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. But each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ himself did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Now, there's an idea embedded here that we've approached from several different scriptures recently. And basically what we're told to do is look back at Jesus Christ himself and recognize that he is both our model, but because of everything else Jesus teaches, everything else that Paul teaches about this, we recognize that when we're looking at Christ, we are not just looking at a model. Because we are the New Testament church, we are not just looking at a model. We are looking at a living God. We're looking at the mind and the heart and the passions of a living God who now dwells within us.
Amen.
If we miss that, we miss the whole New Testament.
That's it.
That he's not just our model. He is our indwelling life.
Amen.
And power to do these bizarre and impossible things that we're being taught. Because then he says, now look at the life of Christ. Look at the model of Christ. Look at the heart and the passions of Christ. Because he decided that other people's welfare mattered more than his own. And we've quoted it a multitude of times for the reasons. But that's exactly what Philippians 2 talks about when it says, now have this mind, which was also in Christ, who although he was God, didn't grasp that, but humbled himself to the point of death. So this same model, this same idea, this same passion is now being presented to us again in Romans. And he's saying, now Jesus was willing to actively consider what was the other person's welfare. And he puts it this way. To please the other. But it's not a frivolous pleasure. In fact, read there in verse 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So that means I'm not just a slave to your whims, but I should be a servant to your true good. I should be an active servant to your true upbuilding in terms of who God designed you to be. So it's to please each other for good and for edification. And you know, one of the things that always strikes me when we're looking at a passage like this is that sounds so good. And now the living of it involves so much conversation with God. Because I could say this, Father, I agree with you. I want to be available as a servant to please others in the body of Christ by actively pursuing their true good and their true edification. And now I might have blind spots in me to deal with. Now I might have areas of sin in me that have to be dealt with. As soon as I make that agreement where God says, I'm so glad you're on board. I'm glad you were of the same mind as I that we're going to pursue that. And Reg, now we've got to change some of your attitudes so that you're able to effectively do what you just agreed to. We have to address sin. We have to address pride. Oh, and Reg, and this other thing. You won't be able to do this unless you're in an active, ongoing conversation with me. Because based on your history and based on your past events and knowledge and human insight, you're going to want to go in this direction to pursue that person's good or edification. And I'm going to need to lead you to go in this direction. And you won't go there if you're not listening to me and talking to me. So this simple agreement means you and I agree with God. Father, I'm going to pursue with strong agreement a willingness to keep being changed myself. So it's not just Reg the way I am today. It's Reg, Father, as you keep growing me and I keep showing up to continue growing. And then it's also, Father, your insight that will help lead me in the way I do this. So I don't end up doing damage in the flesh because I just carry out my agenda for your good. I think I told you about a pastor, wonderful pastor, that I really enjoy as a good friend. And in a somewhat joking manner, he deals with one of the struggles in his life by saying that when he went to college, he majored in God's will for other people's life 101. And what he means by that is it's always easy to see what you should be doing.
Yep.
And because he's sort of a bold kind of guy, he tells you about it. And always recognizing that even as a pastor, that there are times where it was his agenda, not God. Because his flesh is so good at it that it's easy to let that run. So this pursuit of good for each other's edification actually goes back to the other things that were written here before. I have to be in prayer. I have to be in the Word. And I have to be surrendered for my own change and growth.
Amen.
So it's inevitable that if you and I desire what God desires for us, just in terms of blessing each other, God's going to keep challenging you and I to grow. It won't just be who you are today. None of us are finished. It won't just be who I am today. And that's a good thing. That's not a scary thing. Wait, let me take that back. It is a scary thing. It is a scary thing.
But it's a good thing.
But it's still a good thing. And I get to decide that the scariness of it is not a strong enough, important enough reason to avoid the good thing that God's working on. It's also an uncomfortable thing. There are very many times when the next step of change that God asks of me is uncomfortable. There are times where the next step that God will address for your growth, for you to be more equipped to be this in the body of Christ, will be uncomfortable. And uncomfortable is not enough reason to not go there. I know I shared this with you. This is just a tough moment in my life. But when I was in the Marine Corps and living in a barracks, and I was surrounded by garbage, and despite my prayers and my efforts to grow, despite my commitment to purity and holiness as a son of God, periodically I kept being drawn to the garbage. And it was all around me. It was plastered on the walls. It was laying in stacks. I'm talking about pornography garbage. And I had fought that battle in secret. And felt so ashamed of that battle that I believed, I can't tell anybody about this. I taught a Sunday school class. I was on the church administration board. I was a leader in the men's group. There were these things. And I knew. If I would ever share this with somebody in the body of Christ, man, the very next time the church got together, they go, I vote that we kick Reg out and never let him back into these doors because yuck. And then at a men's conference, One of the most humbling moments of my life. At a men's conference where almost all the men of our church were, along with men from several other churches. And while I was sitting there praying about this, God told me, "Reg, stand up and tell them about your struggle." And I promise you, that was one of the hardest moments of my life. Because I knew, okay, Father, if I obey you with this, I'm done here. These people are done with me. And I stood up, and the body of Christ became the body of Christ to me more powerfully that day. Probably than ever before in my life up till then. Because when I shared that with those men, not only did they not say, "You're out of here, yuck, you're disgusting." They committed to fight with me. They committed to pray with me. They committed to walk with me through the battle. And as you well know, there are a bunch of guys who also stood up and said, "Me too." And we could start fighting together. And because it was no longer a secret, we could fight for victory rather than fighting to avoid shame. Fighting to avoid shame in any area of your life is doomed to defeat. The body of Christ, this body of Christ, is here for your battle. Whatever your battle is. Whatever your battle is. And there are some of you right now that have a battle you're ashamed of. And it doesn't have to be the same thing. But there's a battle you're ashamed of. There might be something internally in terms of a bitterness or hatred or pettiness or gossip. There could be anger. There could be unforgiveness. There's something that you keep secret. And being of the same mind and being servants to one another includes the fact that I have to let the body of Christ become the body of Christ to me. And it can't do that if I keep my need secret. Now, we are, like I said, we are nowhere done with this issue. But this surrender to change is a necessary mindset to growing in the mindset of caring for one another and being servants to one another's needs. So I'm going to encourage you to keep reading Romans 12, 13, 14, and 15. We will keep preaching on Romans 12, 13, 14, and 15 until we're done. And then we'll go back and finish Ephesians. Until we're done. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you that this right here is the body of Christ that you love. This right here is the body of Christ that your spirit dwells within. This gathering right here is the body of Christ that you've given power and effectiveness to carry out your purposes, to be the body on planet Earth for the heart and mind of Jesus, your Son. Father, this right here is the body that is equipped to fight for one another, to carry each other through sorrow and grief, through battle and temptation. That we've been equipped, Father, to fight with each other toward victory. We've been equipped to encourage and strengthen and admonish and help one another to grow in the likeness of Christ. And Father, we do on purpose want to thank you. We want to look you in the face and thank you. That the central equipping, the central power that you granted to us is that this mystery is true. Jesus Christ now dwells within us. Not a philosophy, not a belief within us. Not his model is available to us. But that somehow, mysteriously, your spirit brings us the very true, genuine life of Jesus Christ. That we do something here that no one else on planet Earth can. We live in Christ, and Christ lives in us. And that in that, Father, we get to love one another more effectively. We get to just keep growing in this. Thank you very much, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice that made all of this possible. In fact, none of it would have happened or could have happened. We would be hopeless if not for that sacrifice. So we thank you. And we agree on these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.